Hey guys, this is Tony from the Shining Wizards podcast, and just wanted to give you a little update. I know that you're probably seeing that this is only a couple minutes long, and you're wondering why the hell am I even bothering getting an episode 16 when there's an episode 17 next to it. It's complicated, but it's simple. There's been some personal things going on.
Hey, do you guys remember the beating I took for the original episode 16? I bet you don't, but yeah, episode 16 was a bone of contention with Mr. Bowman, bone with Bowman, for a long time. So I figured in this week before we have our 100th episode, we'd treat you guys with a little something from the vault. This episode is Eddie and Matt riding home with Phil Rea after our one-year anniversary show last November, which is kind of apropos considering Phil Rea is having his one-year anniversary show this year, to be followed by our 100th episode. So a lot of celebrating to do this 4th of July week or weekend or whatever. So I'm doing this as a favor to our buddy Matt to give him the proper episode 16 that he's always clamored for. So this way I don't have to hear any bullshit that next week's episode is episode 99 for real. So, folks, we're going to call this one Riding Home with Rea, episode 16B. I hope you enjoy it.
Alrighty.
Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
All right, here we go. We're going home.
Going home.
I don't know where we're going to put this thing.
Put it in your ass. I'm just going to stay with you.
Do you think it'll pick up down there?
It might in your ass.
Yeah, whatever. We'll see.
What's been in your ass besides the fucking dick and, you know?
You know what? Surprisingly, I'm not an ass, but for me, I will never put anything in my anus.
Well, that's good to know.
My anus.
There's clean no balloon. Adult and gerbils. Yeah, clean balloon knot's a good balloon.
Oh, the old balloon knot gag.
Yeah, that old gag.
So, Phil, you've been to a fucking ECW forever.
I've been to a lot of ECW, man. I was very lucky.
You're probably on a lot of the show's tapes I've had.
Yeah, when I first started listening to you guys, I actually was telling Tony, I'm like, yeah, I'm on like fucking half those DVDs, man. I show my kid, he goes bananas with my Public Enemy shirt.
Matt, you should get gas.
Nah, I got plenty of gas.
You sure, dude?
You sure about that?
We're good.
A couple bucks in your tank there, we'll fucking get you a fucking smoothie or something.
A smoothie? Look at me.
Put it right in your tank.
Fucking Captain Smoothie, huh?
Yeah, ECW fucking match. I missed one New York show. Ironically, it was in Staten Island. Now I live there.
The only time I ever went to New York City was those last couple pay-per-views they did.
Pay-per-views
and I even went to the 2005 thing. I went to the
One Night Stand?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
$150 for that fucking ticket.
Where'd you sit?
I sat, they had the bleacher seats for $150 on the side of the stage there.
$150?
Yeah, for bleachers, man.
They actually sold ECW had that kind of money.
Dude, it sold out in like 9 minutes.
Yeah.
I bought the little gay little lanyard, the fucking, in the program.
Yeah. I don't think it's gay, I mean.
No, I mean like, I got abused at work, because a lot of, at the time, the company I worked for, the EMS company, they, fucking, they worked the EMS there, but they couldn't get me in because there was too many people there. So when a guy saw me at the match, like, oh, look at you and your fucking lantern, you fag.
You fucking get to use those fucking EMS perks to get in the fucking shows?
No, just the garden.
Oh, just the garden?
No, like, just like some of the I mean, I would sit in the nosebleed, they would move me down, and, you know, once in a while, I got backstage for Ozzy and a backstage for Raw. I was backstage when Triple H made his return when he blew his fucking quad thingy.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. That was the loudest the garden was since a 94 Ranger playoff game when they won the cup. The year they won the cup, I went to the first round against the Islanders.
Right. And, that's crazy that they popped so loud for, because at that time, before you injured himself, people were hating on Triple H.
It was so loud. Like, and I went to the, like, back when I was a kid, the Garden had house shows every month.
Right.
From 85 to 89, my uncle had tickets maybe 8 out of the 12 months a year. So
and
I'd
they
go.
Always sold out.
Yeah, no, yeah, you'd pack it out. So I was from 85 to 89, I was there almost every month. And it was,
saw some good shows.
Dude, I saw a lot. I was so blessed, man. I was so lucky. I had a funny story. I wanted to say it at the podcast tonight, but I didn't get a chance to. Hopefully you guys, we get close enough, we get to meet my family. My mom is out of her fucking skull, and she still is. We were at the Fell Forum, which is now, they call it the Paramount, where they have the concerts in the Garden.
All right, yeah.
And just to wait for the wrestlers to come out. And this is like 85, 86. Valentine and Beefcake were coming out. And they were so fucking over his heels. And Valentine bumped my mom like shoulder to shoulder, like on accident coming out. Now, what's Valentine? 6'2", 240?
Mm-hmm.
My mom's not a big lady. And she just looked at him and said, what the fuck are you? And like before he went into his car, he stopped and looked at her like, are you serious? And my mom was like up to his nipples. She was like, yay, fucking... She called him something like you cocksucker or something like that. My mom was insane. And I'm like, my mom's yelling at Greg Valentine. I can't believe this. Who's like, he was such a badass, man. He was a big dude.
I will match your Greg Valentine story with a story about my father. You do not know my father. My father is out of his fucking mind. My father loves his Budweisers.
Good for him.
So we used to do backyard wrestling. Me, Eddie, Tony, a bunch of us.
Wow.
So we go in the... We used to wrestle in my basement at my house.
Okay.
So this is right when ECW is starting to take off. So I get all these kids at school who are wrestling fans. I'm like, come watch us wrestle, and afterwards we'll go to the show. Eddie was in. A bunch of other guys were in. Something happened. Eddie couldn't get the car. Or Bum couldn't get the car. Someone couldn't drive. So they left. So here I am at my house with like fucking five of my friends from high school who weren't really my high school friends. They were just dudes I hung out with who liked wrestling. So I'm like, hey, Dad, will you take us to Elizabeth to see an ECW show? So he takes us down to Elizabeth. He drops us off at the show and he goes to the bar.
To wait for you.
So the show's over. Come back. We're outside walking by a fucking Winnebago. Judge Jones, Jeff Jones, steps out.
Oh,
God, that's...
I start fucking heckling him. Fuck you, you pee. You know, yeah. He fucking comes charging at me like he's gonna do something. Obviously, he's not. He's just gotta keep up his gimmick. My father fucking loses it. Here comes Rob Van Dam and Sabu out of the Winnebago.
Oh.
These guys go back in the Winnebago. My father pisses all over the side of Rob Van Dam's Winnebago. Are you ready for the follow-up to this story?
Yes.
We go to a wrestling show, a wrestling convention at the Crown Plaza in Newark,
right,
to meet Steve Austin.
Yeah.
I heard it.
Yeah.
Me and my brother go into the bar to see what my father's doing.
Right.
He goes, oh, I got this for you. He gives me a napkin. Best wishes, Rob Van Dam.
That's fantastic.
I just had a beer with this guy. I don't know who he is, but I told him you guys were wrestling fans, so he gave me this.
That's fantastic.
I'm like, you tried to piss on his Winnebago, you wizard.
May of 98, the Elks Lodge had a card called It Ain't Seinfeld.
I remember hearing about that show.
Okay. So this is Queens. This is the middle of fucking Queens, New York. And this is Shane Douglas and Taz. This is their feud. So, of course, Shane comes out and cuts a killer fucking promo on how he hates New York, how he hates Queens, and how he hates Brooklyn. Well, now I'm born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens. I lose my fucking mind. I'm like, fuck you, and fuck Pittsburgh, and fuck the Penguins. Like, yeah, well, fuck you. You want some? I'm like, yeah, fuck you, you mutt. Now they're holding me back. Bubba Ray Dudley sees all this and walks towards the fucking aisle. He's eyeballing me. He's like, you want some, tough guy? Like, he was still using that southern voice. I was like, yeah, whatever, dude. Your fucking brother's a cop in a 110, you fucking femme. Eat my cock, I told him. Now, my friend Jamie, who's on my Termical Throwbacks page, my friend Jamie, to this day, she was there. She goes, Phil had this monster fucking fight with Shane Douglas. The next month, they were selling tickets at a car dealership for one of the next shows. So it was Tommy Dreamer, Beulah, and Bubba Ray. So now my stepdad and I go and get these fucking tickets. I'm in a car dealership. I'm waiting in line at a car dealership of all places on Northern Boulevard to buy these fucking tickets. Bubba sees me, looks over and goes, aren't you the fat fuck that mooned me? And I was like, no, dude, that was the guy who was 500 pounds in front of me. I'm the one that fucking told you to eat my cock. And he goes, that's right. You got some pair of balls. So Tommy's laughing at this point. So now my stepfather's looking at me, and I'm pulling out my money. And Tommy and Beulah have the box, the little metal box that has the tickets and whatever. And they were still, like, on these little printed fucking...
The blue ones?
Yeah, yeah. All
right.
So, like, and, like... He's got a box of cannolis from this town Corona and from Baldi's. I'm like, oh, you go to Baldi's? You know Baldi's? I'm like, yeah, it's on 108th Street, man. My fucking grandfather used to go there. He goes, you're a fucking tough guy, ain't you? Talking about cannolis, calling me, tell me to eat your fucking cock. I'm like, dude, why gotta be a dick for? Why does your boy Shane gotta come into my neighborhood and disrespect me? I don't go to Pittsburgh and disrespect him. You're such a fucking mark. No, dude, I'm a smart mark who's very fucking proud of where I am. So eat a bag of fried dicks, I told him. Tommy fucking got up and clapped for me, man. It was fantastic.
That's awesome.
We had so many good times, man. Doubletree in Philly. And the Public Enemy put Stevie Richards through two flaming tables, if you remember that. And we all got in the ring and danced, and the fucking ring broke.
Oh, that you were there, huh?
Yeah, that fucking Phil gets in the ring. And I took a piece of the table, like an idiot. So now my friends and I played imaginary wrestling with the IWA. We used to fucking play you mail the money away to back.
Yes,
the
magazine. I did that. All yes.
Right. Well, my friends were like world champions. My buddy Brian and Jay, they won titles and everything. So we hook up with a bunch of guys. We meet them in Philly. We hang out. Brian's fucking this stripper chick with an inflatable sheep. She brings an inflatable sheep to the ring. We start a Steve Fuck Sheep chant, you know. So we go in the ring, we dance, break the ring. I take a piece of the table. The next day, I'm in the Doubletree signing out. Rocco Rock pulls up in a fucking Eldorado Cadillac. And he sees my shirt. He's talking to me. He's signing his fucking receipt with his girlfriend. Johnny Grunge in the car. And he sees my table. And he goes, where'd you get that? And now I'm like trying to like, nah, I had it. What do you mean you had it? You walk around with a piece of fucking table in your bag? I'm like, nah, I took it last night. Took it from where? From you. What do you mean from me when you fucking put Stevie Richards through it? He goes, oh, that's our table? I'm like, yeah. Give me that. Takes a fucking Sharpie and he signs it.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
My mother to this day, you still have that broken table, asshole, with the fucking signature? Yeah, I do.
I got a broken piece from one of the shows I went, Tommy. I got Tommy Dreamer to sign it. His blood on it. I'm never getting rid of that shard table.
The girl I was dating at the time, her mom had a balloon business. And Taz had just signed before he made the Rumble debut against Kurt Angle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my girl was telling... So we're in this arcade. That's where he is. He's signing it. And ECW had that magazine. It had like three issues.
Yes.
All right. So Taz had the first one, the laminated, you know, the laminated one. I had it. She takes it out of my box and brings it with us, knowing that Taz is going to be there. I didn't know. I'm a big Taz mark. I got my fucking shirts, whatever. I walk in the room where he's going to be in his orange and black balloons. I'm like, it's not Halloween. There's no Taz is going to be here today. I'm like, no shit. Stop playing with me. He shows up, signing autographs. He went to my high school. But, of course, he's like almost 10 years older than me.
Right.
So she tells him, oh, you know, my boyfriend went to your high school, and you guys are from the same neighborhoods in Brooklyn and Queens. And Taz is, like, striking up a conversation with me. He had the House of Hardcore still, and Mikey Whitbread was training for him. My buddy Dave Strobel went to his school after him and Jay wrestled for Johnny Rods. And it was fun. We had all these connections. It was, like, just, and we weren't, like, anybody. We were just fucking kids, you know? But ECW was, like, the best time, man. It was the best time ever.
It was. That was a great time to be a fan.
Yeah, it really was. Those road trips to Philly were the fucking bomb.
They were the bomb. And we had these bus trips that ran out of Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
and they'd pick you up in Queens, and you'd go, and you had all the tape trader guys, so you'd have a bag of tapes in your fucking knapsack, and you're trading tapes until I got that Muda tape I made for you today in the DVD.
That's awesome.
And, you know, and that's my introduction to Kobashi and Kawada and all them, and you know, but what was funny was we go in like 10 or 20 guys, and one crowd went to Pat's, one crowd went to Geno's, and you split the cheesesteaks up, and it was really cool. It was nice. And then every time I went down to a Met game in the old Vet Stadium, it was terrible. That stadium was so bad that when I went one day against the Mets, Frank Viola pitched. It was the early 90s. Von Hayes refused to play. Huh. The field had cracks in it, like holes. So, man, it was so cool, and everybody dug it. Like, even casual wrestling fans, like, did you catch that ECW? I'm like, of course I catch it, dude. I record it.
Was it coming on at fucking 2 o'clock in the morning?
1 o'clock in the morning on the Madison Square Garden Network.
Yes. Hardcore fucking TV.
Yeah, you'd watch, like, the Knicks in 60. Or the awful fucking, you had to wait for the Yankees to get over. And, you got it. You know? We didn't get ECW on TV until winter of 94. And it was right after Starrcade 93. I remember starting my... I have, like, almost every TV taping on, like, videotapes in my basement. And I would tape them every week. I'd put Raw, Nitro, and ECW on every week on tapes. And it was great because... And you have fucking 3 weeks of Raven in those empty school rooms.
The playgrounds?
Oh, the playgrounds, yes, and all that shit, right. Cutting those promos. And one card was 4 weeks of TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So when you go to the match, that'd be on TV all week. Like, yeah, all month, I mean. Yeah, you know.
And those shows flew, too. Like, yeah. That was a quick hour.
Yeah.
Real quick
hour. It really was. The first time I ever watched ECW, I was with Eddie, and we were at our buddy's Pat's house. And it was the fucking... It was Jericho, Douglas, Scorpio... No, not Jericho. It was Jericho, Douglas, Scorpio, and... Pipple number 2 for the TV title, the 4-way dance.
Oh, wow, yes.
That was the first episode we saw. Weird enough, that night we all fell asleep on different couches and we woke up on different couches.
I think I have it on Facebook. I have a picture of Pipple number 2 getting me in a headlock. I think I have it on my Facebook page. That was cool. That was the day that fucking Mick Foley came out with the milk crate.
We went down to Trenton once. Were you with us, Eddie?
Yeah.
And
when Jamie held the parking...
Yeah, we fucking went down crazy early. Who knows why. And they... it was where Perry Saturn fucking blew his knee out.
Oh. I loved the Eliminators, man.
And we fucking... Our buddy Jamie was the fucking... The parking lot next to the building. They were only letting wrestlers in. And Jamie just stood there with the chain and wouldn't let anyone in unless they were wrestlers. So I got a picture with fucking New Jack.
We were
fucking yelling at Cronus at the fucking 7-Eleven across the street.
I was in New Hampshire when he passed away a few years ago.
Sad. Man, the Eliminators, man. They could have gone so much further.
They should have.
They really should have. They had all the potential. Remember, Cronus got into killer shape.
Oh, they never got the recognition. It bothered me.
Oh, never.
Remember when they had the Raw invasion?
Yeah, they did.
Yes.
Home, by the way.
It's right here.
All right. The total elimination of somebody.
Dude, like... I thought once they were on
Raw?
Once they were on Raw, that they would fucking blow up. Like, I thought Vince would immediately sign them.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
They were so fucking good live, man. I was there when they fought Doc and Gordy in Philly. Oh, man. At this point, Doc and Gordy weren't Doc and Gordy. They were just... That was their tail end of their last
run. They
were
just the name.
They had just... They won, like, the Triple Crown... And they had lost them. And it was like, the place went bananas. But the promos, Perry Saturn was a nutcase, man.
Doc and Gordy.
He had that one eye, just looking all over the place.
Fucking awesome.
And back then, guys, and no, this is no bullshit, man. I can't make this stuff up, because you had as easy access as I did. It was just like going to that Chikara show, Ed. The wrestlers were so accessible to everybody. You know,
I loved it like that, especially after the ECW shows in the arena. If you stuck around, they were all walking around.
Yeah, that was the best part, man.
You could just talk to them, and they signed shit.
I remember Francine would come to the shows before she was big, and she used to work with them, like, give out, like, fucking flyers and shit.
Yeah.
Before she had a tit job, she'd come in like, her Flyers jersey and spandex, and she'd, like, you know, forget it, man.
Breaking in.
And you know who's the best, dude? And props to fucking Jersey, too. Chris Candido.
Oh, what a class act he
was. He would stop and talk, and, like, Sonny would get mad at him. Like, come on, we gotta go, we gotta go. He's like, no, come on, hang on a minute. What's going on, guys? Where you from? You from Jersey? No, I'm from Queens. Oh, fucking Queens. Yeah, fucking Queens. And, you know, he babbled, but he was such a nice dude, man.
Yeah, that's a shame what happened to him.
Oh,
that's just a fucking heartbreaking thing.
Oh, I friended Joel Gertner on Facebook, and the week I got on the Man Cave show, we're friends to a mutual friend, and I said, dude, I said, you don't know me, you know my friend. I said, I do this radio show. I said, and we have to have you on the show, you know, just because he's involved still. He has his own promotion, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And he lives in Brooklyn. And he, again, very accessible. He's very, very, he's very humble. When I spoke to him, he's like, thank you for remembering me. I'm like, dude, come on, man. I said, at the height of it all, you were in it. The Dudleys was so over, man.
And the pops that Gertner would get when he read his fucking poll.
We have Gertner on December 20th.
Sure.
Yeah. I just spoke to him. He was like, yo, you know, 2 weeks ago when I got on the Man Cave show, I was like, dude, we love that. We got to have you on. Because those guys are wrestling fans, too. You know, they're big fans.
I'm sure Gertner's got some awesome fucking stories.
I can't wait to have him on the podcast. That's
Joel,
gonna be fucking...
just like the Rubik's Cube, the longer you play with me, the harder I get. That's my favorite one.
He went from being booed out of the building as a ring announcer to getting so many pops as soon as he said, well, well, well.
Tell him to come to WrestleCon.
It's not a bad idea.
Invite him to sit at our table.
Yeah, sit at our table with us. We're all going to interview him anyway.
I wonder if he has any bookings that weekend. There's like shows up the ass.
There's a fucking shit ton of shows.
Yeah, I want to stay. I told wifey I might just stay that night. You know?
You can stay with Lopez and his wife.
Oh, man.
Lopez, the whitest sounding guy.
I can't believe I missed his phone call.
Me.
I knew I would. The minute I put that number up on Facebook, I knew he was going to be the first one to call.
Good for him.
Yeah, he was, right away, as soon as he walked out the door.
He's fucking awesome.
He sent me a message last week explaining his, because we have a tag team tournament going on.
Yes, I know, I've
right, you know, and,
submitted my picks.
That's right, and he gave me this long email explaining why this is the way it is, and then he was like, he's angry. Like, Ring of Honor sucks for him now, and, you know, he's, like, a little bitter. I'm like, dude, just keep writing, that's all.
Yeah, he gets frustrated.
Keep writing, that's all. It's fine.
I think we all get frustrated.
Well, the older we get, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah,
you know? And
kind
I,
of sucks.
It is what it is. Like, I told that kid today, I was like, you know, just fucking accept it and move on with it, you know?
That's the best way to watch it.
Like, I was trying to tell the kid online, oh, we're online and waiting to get in. And I said, dude, this is not what you see on TV. You're not going to see fireworks. You're not going to see cameras and shit. And he goes, am I going to see wrestling? Yeah, you're going to see wrestling. It's not going to be, like, on TV, though. It's going to be a little more, too smaller. It's going to be, you know, guys going to do stuff you're not going to see on TV.
It's going to be better.
Yeah. And he got it, man. For a little kid, he got it. Like, you know. Matt, I'll tell you, he was fucking into it, dude. He stood almost the entire show.
That's awesome.
You know?
That is awesome.
And he probably was the youngest kid there.
Yeah, normally, it normally is kid-friendly, but nobody's bringing a kid in New York, you know? It's a fucking different animal.
I thought there'd be more kids there. There were a lot of, when they did the show in Rahway in, like, April, there were a lot of kids there.
You guys have it's a different animal, too. They're the most family oriented out here in some of the most of the most of those areas anyway. I remember going to ECW in Jersey. I think it wasn't Rahway. That rec center there.
Uh-huh.
And it's all kids. All of it.
Oh, the Rahway shows are all kids. Yeah.
All kids.
Also, because they probably skate all day. It's like
Steve, and that was like the Steve Corino ECW.
Steve Corino was fucking filthy when he was in ECW. What was that, Heat Wave? Hardcore Heaven? He fucking Sandman's wife's in the front row, and he just fucking dresses her down and calls her a fucking whore and just... fucking fantastic.
Carino's a nutbag, man.
My brother's buddy was leaving the house, and he's like, what are you doing for your birthday, Matt? And I'm like, we got the podcast tonight. He's like, podcast?
Turn right onto Morningstar Road.
And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, we had fucking Matt Hardy 2 weeks ago. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah. Why is that so fucking hard for you?
Your brother?
No, my buddy's friend, John.
Turn right onto Richmond Terrace.
I'm surprised.
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame him. I'd be fucking surprised, too.
Just
shit.
A year ago today, we were talking to fucking Matt Hardy in a year. I just like, yeah, right.
I mean, a lot of these guys were just looking to fucking promote. It's like, yeah. It's so easy. Like,
you catch on one of these feds that have, like, well, that's how Wiggy got with fucking Chikara, man. Right. She was following them, and they were like, nobody else was doing anything with them. So she just took it upon herself with her little friends and this little thing, you know?
You never know when something's gonna blow up.
I would love to start, like, their own fucking, like, what Man Cave does, that morelikeradio.com.
Like, have it all under one umbrella?
And do it live. Every one of their shows goes live, dude.
Oh, really?
You have to have, like, your own server and stuff. It costs a couple of bucks. But if we can all do it together and that fucking just... And just network ourselves and have, like, a website, like Radio Influence and shit like that.
That's the way to do it. That's exactly the way to do it. That is the fucking
That's my goal, is to have a network.
Yeah, and I think we're on our way.
We can have our own fucking network. Like, Wrestling Randomness, those guys, that Jason Massey guy, he's from fucking Jersey. They have their own network. They have their own server and stuff like that.
I think that's the way to do it.
I'm just not that tech savvy, man.
You have to find the logistics.
Yeah.
You know?
We'd have to, you know... I think our next big thing is to get through WrestleCon.
We can actually talk about it at WrestleCon. We can all just all lead up to it and just start shooting ideas around and everybody can... I'm telling you, man, like... all bring something to the table. It's not far-fetched, you know. It's we all pay for out of our pocket anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I mean, it's not. We wouldn't be losing anything.
Right. We've not. We
if
have,
anything, it'd be exposure.
Yeah, we've everything
know?
To gain.
It's not far-fetched, though, man. We could definitely make that happen.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely.
You know.
Write the numbers too.
So what's gonna do it? That's really what's gotten us this far.
Radio, but now for my wife, like, I don't even use it no more, man. All I do is
XM.
Yeah, but I just listen to us.
Right.
And I'm not even being biased. I'm just like, it's just all week. It's my buddy Anthony and Kevin show on Monday. I do Tuesdays with Will Monday nights. The Mel and Corey, the two girls, Women Who Love Wrestling. I like them too. They're on Wednesdays. You guys are on Thursdays most of the time.
GPS signal lost.
Thanks,
bud. Dumpling face.
Thanks. Put me in the direction of home at first.
800 feet.
Yep.
Turn left to stay on Richmond Terrace.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. My iPod is.
Turn left to stay on Richmond Terrace.
Yeah, that's all I do. All I do. And then I'll download like MLW and, you know, Cabana shit, you know.
Right.
The old school wrestling podcast. Friends, they do an hour or two on one pay per view or one card. Something I would love to do. I just don't have another person to do it with, you know. And that's pretty much it. That's why I kept my 4 month wait to do like a half hour on a current,
right.
And I do a throwback. Yeah, it's gotta happen.
Yeah.
Like that's what Will and I. I wasn't gonna do a wrestling podcast. It was just gonna be Will and I. But when Will couldn't do his right away, I started doing mine by myself.
Oh, yeah?
And then he found some time, and, you know, and that was it.
No, it's just I have no, because Rhiannon goes to school. So
yeah.
If I get up with her, I go to the gym, I come home, I have like an hour to kill.
Yeah.
So I fucking put on a DVD, and I'll watch a DVD, and then I'm just on Twitter and just searching the websites to find people's contact info.
That's what you should be doing, man. To make the next right.
And like, you know, like fucking Smash Wrestling sent us t-shirts. ECWA gave us. ECWA gave us DVDs.
Turn right onto Franklin Avenue.
All right, cool. Phil, have a happy Thanksgiving, so brother.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, man. It was fucking awesome.
No, thank you for taking me home, man.
Great.
Yeah.
Treat that like a taxi.
I don't mind. It's all for a good cause.
No, gentlemen, thank you so much.
Bro, we gotta do this again.
Anytime,
we'll
brother.
Before WrestleCon, man. It'd be nice.
Probably will.
Beautiful. Be safe, man.
You guys, have a good holiday.
Thanks.
You too,
man.
Phil. Thanks, brother.
Left on the left.
Got it.